So about 4 years ago, I went on a date with this girl, and she was absolutely beautiful and wonderful in every single way. And at that point, I was head over heels for this girl, and I wanted to take her on a really special date. And I thought there was no better date to take somebody on than a picnic in the park. Romantic picnic in the park. And I had this whole idea in my head. I had a picnic basket and everything. It was really pretty, really nice. I got it at a yard sale. And so I wanted to take her on this date. I said, hey, let's go to the park. And so I went and picked her up, and I wanted to take her to the Veterans Park here in London. And I knew that it was a great park, but the only problem was I had never been there before. I've born and raised London, Kentucky. This has been my hometown my entire life. And I had really no idea where this park was. I thought, it's kind of behind Main Street. We'll be fine. I heard great things about it. Great place to walk, great place to take your dog. Apparently, Sue Maddox loves to play football there. It's just a great time. So we got in the car and we drove to London, and we were driving around, and it didn't take very long for me to figure out that I had no idea where this park was. I had literally no clue. We were driving all around downtown, I was trying to figure out where this thing was. And somehow, some way, we ended up in the parking lot of Joiner Designs, and we're just kind of sitting there, and I just had to pull over. I was like, okay, this is going nowhere. I need to know where we're going. And she wasn't really saying anything rude, but I could kind of get the vibe, she's like, who in the heck is this guy? Like, does this guy know anything what he's doing? And so she's just kind of, I pull out my good buddy Waze, and I type in the address of the Veterans Park. I find the path, and it gets us to the destination that we need to go. And, a little while later, she revealed to me that she was maybe having some second thoughts in that moment. She was a little bit concerned about the future of the relationship, but I won in the end. We're getting married this Saturday, so, Yeah. Sweetheart, I'm sorry. Don't think about that too much, or you might have second thoughts again. Let's get to the finish line here. Okay, so I say all that to say this, that you don't just get in your car and end up in the destination that you want to go. You don't just get in the car and drive around until you suddenly end up accidentally where you wanted to go. We don't accidentally end up where we want to go. You know this, I know this. Summer vacation just kicked off, summer break, and we're taking road trips to places. You don't just get in your car and magically start driving and end up in Florida. You have to know what road to take. You have to take I-75 south. You can't go north. You can't go west. You can't go east. You got to go south if you want to get to Florida. And life is the exact same way, because life is a journey. Life is a journey that all of us are headed down, and we're all going to a destination. Maybe not the same destination, but I hope and I think we all do want to arrive at the same destination, because life is a journey and we're headed to a destination. We're all headed to a destination in life, and our life is comprised of our decisions, and our decisions determine our direction, and our direction determines our destination. And I think that the destination that all of us want to end up in life is life. That's where we want to end up. And not life just as in existing. I mean life as in living. Life as in living, as in a life well lived. A life where we get to the end of it and we look back and we are proud of the life that we lived. A life well lived that lives well and that finishes well. A life that has more joys than sorrows. A life that has more joys than regrets. A life of meaning, a life of purpose, a life of satisfaction, a life of love and grace and fulfillment. Jesus called this the better life, the abundant life, the life that is truly life. He called it life to the full. And last week, Pastor Trevor kicked off this series talking about a way to live that life, a way to find that life. That there's a key ingredient. There's a key path that we need to follow in order to arrive at the destination of a life well lived. And that key, that ingredient, that path is called wisdom. It's wisdom. And wisdom is something that all of us want, or at least I hope so. Because wisdom is God's path to living life well and to live life with skill, to live well and to finish well. It's a way of living life that God has ordained as good. And he has woven it into the fabric of the universe. It makes sense that the author of life should know the way that life is best lived. And that's wisdom. That's wisdom. And he wants us to follow the path of wisdom because he wants us to arrive at the destination of life. He wants us to have life because he loves us. Because that's exactly what he came to give us. Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Eternal life and a better life here on earth. And wisdom helps us arrive at that destination. Wisdom helps us make better decisions and have fewer regrets. That's what wisdom gets us. Better decisions, fewer regrets. And that is the life that we want to live. And that's the life that God himself desires for us to live because he loves us and because he wants us to become who he made us to be, to live well and to finish well. And last week, Pastor Trevor, he talked about a book that we find in the Old Testament, a book of wisdom, a book that is full of advice that helps us live life with better decisions and fewer regrets. It's the most famous book of wisdom in the entire world, and it's called Proverbs. Proverbs, we find it in the Old Testament, in the first half of your Bible. And Proverbs is a collection of wisdom that was largely accumulated by King Solomon, who was considered to be the wisest man in the ancient world. Among other authors, his advice is in there. And it's not necessarily a book of moral law. It's not really a book of commands. Rather, it's a book of evaluated experiences. Wisdom that comes from experiences that have been looked at, that have been examined, that have been evaluated, and then written down and communicated to you and to me so that we can put it into practice and we can live life well. And the principles within Proverbs, they were true at the time that they were written, and they're true today because God wove wisdom into the fabric of the universe, into the fabric of life. So this wisdom that we find, it always has been and it always will be true. It's a way of living life that's foolproof. In other words, if you live life this way, if you live life with wisdom, you can't mess it up. It's really hard to mess it up. You'll make better decisions and have fewer regrets. And so now, in light of the New Testament, in light of the fact that we're on the other side of Jesus and the cross and his resurrection, we get to make better sense of not only how to live life, but how to follow Jesus. Because Jesus himself based his teachings on the principles that we find in Proverbs. He knew the Old Testament scriptures. He taught them. He said that he was the fulfillment of them. And so he taught wisdom in everything that he said. Like in Matthew chapter 7, at the end of, or nearing the end of one of his famous sermons called the Sermon on the Mount, He talked about wisdom in terms of two paths that we can take. He reveals that there are two paths that we can take in life. Not 100, not 500, not 1,000, not 5, not 3, not 1, but 2. There's two paths that we can take in life. And he said, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The implication is clear. The lesson's clear. There's only two paths in life. One is broad. The other is narrow. The broad path is really popular because it's wide and it takes little effort. Ultimately, it leads to destruction because it requires little to no effort to be foolish, to not care where you're going or what you're doing. But on the other hand, he says that the path to life, it's narrow. It requires effort. It requires careful attention to your feet and with your eyes. But in the end, it leads to life. It leads to the destination that we want to go. So he would say, choose the path of life. Choose the path of wisdom. See, Jesus wanted us to know this very important truth, that life is a constant battle for which path we will follow. And the stakes are life and death. Life is a battle. Every single day, life is a battle. Life is full of choices and full of forces that are vying for our attention and are trying to pull us in one direction or another direction, trying to get us on the broad path, trying to get us on the path that ultimately leads to destruction, the path of the foolish. But there's one voice that's calling us into the path of life, and that is the voice of God. And life is a constant battle between which path that we will follow, which voice that we will listen to. And God wants us on the path to life. He wants us on the path toward Him, a life with better decisions and fewer regrets, a life of purpose and meaning and love and walking in His grace, a life of freedom. He wants us to take in His wisdom and follow it, to take it in and to live it out. And in Proverbs chapter 4, we find that Solomon, he wants the same thing for his sons. He wants the same thing for his children. And so he gives them invaluable wisdom. He says, sons, I want you to come here. We're gonna sit down together. And I want you to lean in and listen. I'm gonna give you some advice that's going to change your life. He's going to reveal to them and then ultimately reveal to us the greatest decision that we can make to find the path of wisdom and to stay on it so that we arrive at the destination of a life well lived with better decisions and fewer regrets. And everything that he says to his sons, it was true for them, and just as it is true for them, it is true for us. So if you're here this morning and you're struggling, you don't know what path you're on, or maybe you know that you're on the wrong path. Everything ahead, it's dark, you can't see it, it's full of fear, full of doubt, full of confusion, full of, you know, future potential regrets and mistakes, and you just know where I'm headed is not where I want to go, and where I am today is not where I want to be. It's not where God wants me to be. Then I want you to lean in and listen, because this is going to change your life. And if you're here today and you are making good decisions, you feel like you are on the path of wisdom, I want you to lean in too, because this is going to help you stay on the path of wisdom. This is gonna help you stay on the road to life, because life is a constant battle, and there's gonna be times that we're weak, there's gonna be times that we're tempted, there's gonna be times when we don't know what to do. This is gonna help you stay on it. So no matter who you are this morning, take notes. Pay attention, because the wisdom we're going to find is going to change your life. And Solomon opens with saying, I instruct you in the way of wisdom and lead you along straight paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hampered. When you run, you will not stumble. So here it is, right here, the first path, the way of wisdom. That's the path that we can choose to follow. It's well lit. It's straight, we can see straight ahead, and because of that, we can move further, faster in life. We can have better decisions and fewer regrets. We won't be held back or entangled by the fallout of our own foolishness. It won't lead to destruction. We're gonna find life when we follow the path of wisdom. It's gonna take us to the destination of life. But then on the other hand, there's the second path, and he says this, do not set foot on the path of the wicked, or walk in the way of evildoers. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn from it and go on your way. The way of the wicked, that's the second path. Now, who are the wicked? The wicked are people that don't trust in God. It's a character that shows up a lot in the Psalms, a lot in the Proverbs, and basically it means people who think that they know better than God. People who think they can live life better than the way the author of life says that it should be lived. And you wanna know a secret? You've been there. I've been there. Every day, I think we find ourselves there on the way of the wicked. Every single day. We all make mistakes. We all have regrets, and we all make choices that we wish that we wouldn't make or hadn't made. We need to avoid that path, because it leads to destruction. That's the secret. Solomon says, you know, the best way to not be on that path to destruction is to avoid it. Just stay away from it. Don't even go near it. There is no greater weakness in me than Costco Southern praline pecans. Oh my good, can I get a witness? I mean, listen, the great thing about those is that they come in this giant, like 3-pound or 5-pound bucket. Oh my gosh. I can't have them in my house. There's no way, because every time I open up the cabinet and I see them sitting there, they call to me. The temptation is just so strong. And I know it's going to lead to destruction. I know it's gonna lead to everything I've done in the gym up to that point, gone, diet, gone, lifestyle, gone. But the moment I crack those bad boys open and I binge a good show and I've got my praline pecans, oh my goodness. And then what happens afterward? A couple days later, it's gone and I feel terrible about myself, because who wouldn't? I've just ruined everything that I was trying to do. Trying to stay healthy, trying to stay, you know, on the right path and everything, gone. Nope, terrible. Solomon says the best way to avoid those is to not even have them in your house. When you go to the grocery store and you're on a diet, you don't go hungry, because you're gonna buy everything in sight, you're gonna waste all your money, and you're also gonna buy things that you don't need, that you shouldn't have. Just avoid it completely. Don't go down the dessert aisle, don't look at those pecans, whatever you do. If you take anything away from today, don't buy the pecans. Just don't do it. Avoid it, okay? That's what Solomon says to do. And so he continues on. He talks about the path of the righteous. He says that the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. And what he's saying is that the further that we walk in wisdom, the brighter our life becomes. The further we walk down the path of wisdom, the more wise we'll become. We'll have greater clarity, greater joy, greater insight as to where to go and what to do. Because good decisions compound. They build off of each other. You make one good decision, pretty hard at first, but it's a little bit easier to take the next step on the path of wisdom. It's just a little bit easier every single time until finally you find that you are living your life with wisdom. It's the same thing with diet. Again, like, you know, you make one good decision to stay away from the pecans, the easier it becomes. You eventually just forget about them until you see them again, like me, and it's just all over with. You need to avoid it. Or like waking up early in the morning. You know, a lot of us might set a goal to wake up at 5 a.m., and no one likes to wake up at 5 a.m. It absolutely sucks. Definitely the first couple times. But what happens after a while? Your body gets used to it. Your mind gets used to it. You actually start to enjoy that rhythm, because you're accomplishing things in the morning. You're spending time with God, you're exercising, you're doing things that are productive and that are good. It's really hard the first couple of times, but then after a while, we start to enjoy it because we see the benefits of it. Wisdom works the same way. The further we walk in it, the brighter our life becomes and the more wise that we become. But then he contrasts this. He says, but the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So in the same way that the further you walk in wisdom, the wiser and the brighter your life becomes, the further you walk in darkness, the darker your life becomes. Because just as good decisions often lead to more good decisions, bad decisions often lead to more bad decisions. They compound, they grow. I mean, think about it. When's the last time you told a white lie? What happened? What happened? It snowballed, right? It snowballed. It grew and it grew and it grew because you had to keep lying and keep covering things up. And eventually, before you know it, you've got a mass conspiracy going about why you didn't take out the trash. And your whole life is a lie because of that, because it started with one small white lie that snowballed. The path of the foolish is the same way. It becomes darker and darker and darker and darker. You get tripped up on stuff. You can't see where you're going. You make all kinds of mistakes. It leads to more and more and more and more. And so everything that Solomon is saying to his sons here, he's making this very clear, just like Jesus did. There are two paths, the path to life and the path to destruction. And the stakes are life and death. Wisdom leads to life. Foolishness leads to destruction. Those are the only two options that we have. So he says, choose the path of wisdom. Choose the path of life. And now that Solomon has laid all that out, he gathers his sons in just a little bit closer. And he says, sons, I want you to lean in even closer right now because I'm about to give you the key to doing this well. Everything that I've just taught you, I want you to choose the path of wisdom. I'm gonna give you the key to finding and walking and staying on the path of wisdom. If you listen to this, this will change your life. If you listen to this and you put these words into practice, you're gonna build your life on a firm foundation. You are going to arrive at the destination of life and look back on a life well lived. So lean in and pay attention. He says, my sons, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Don't let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. You want to benefit your whole life? You want to write a better story with your life and for those around you? This is the secret. This is it. He says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, son. Guard your heart. Now, why is it the heart? Why is it the heart? Why isn't it guard your finances above all else? Why isn't it guard your marriage above all else? Guard your friendships above all else? Guard your career above all else? Why is it not any of those things? Why is it guard your heart? Because for us, you know, we when we think of the heart, we think of the organ that pumps blood throughout our body. We think of the heart giving life to us in the most physical sense. But in the ancient Hebrew tradition, the heart meant something so much more. To Solomon, the heart meant something so much more. Because the heart, to the ancient Hebrews and to the writers of the scriptures, it is the entirety of the person. It is the very center of who you are and who I am. Everything that we are is contained within the heart. Our thoughts, our emotions, our desires, our attitudes, our beliefs, our understanding, our will, everything that we are is contained in our heart. It contains everything in us that drives us to make decisions, to make choices, to take action. It is the source of all our behavior. It is the deepest, deepest part of who you are and the deepest part of who I am, our innermost being. And the thing about our heart that Solomon knew is that that part of us, who we are, it is constantly under siege. It is constantly under attack. Remember, life is a battle. Life is a battle between the paths that we will choose. And it's a battle for our heart. Life is full of temptations and natural inclinations and propensities. In life, we have an enemy. Jesus talks about him. He says that the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's his purpose for our life. God's purpose for our life is that we would have life. And so we have an enemy that's roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he is after our heart because he knows if he can get our heart, he can get everything else. And Solomon knew that. Solomon knew that since the heart is the center of everything that we are, it is the thing that needs to be most heavily protected and most heavily guarded. Because he knew also in ancient warfare, in the warfare of his day, the strongest point of a city was the citadel. It was the last line of defense. It was the strongest part. And if you were attacking a city and you took the citadel, everything else around it surrendered. You take the citadel, you take the city. The heart is the citadel. That's what Solomon is saying. If something takes our heart, everything that we are, everything that we have, it bows to it. And so that's why it must be guarded above all else. Guard your heart. So we know what to guard. And then the question becomes, how do we guard it? How do we guard our hearts? Solomon's gonna give us three things that we can do, that when we guard these three things, they will effectively guard our hearts. If the heart is the citadel, then these three things are the gates that lead to the citadel. And you guard these gates, you guard the citadel. You guard these things, you guard the heart. And the first one is this: guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. He says, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Guard your mouth. In other words, guard your words. Guard what you say. Why? Why guard what you say? Why guard your words? Because our words are powerful. Our words are powerful. Proverbs 18 says that the tongue has the power of life and death. There is life and death in the tongue. You and I, we can bring life or we can bring death by what we say to other people and to ourselves. You and I have both experienced this. We understand what this is like. Because sometime, once upon a time, somebody cut you down with simply their words. You remember what that felt like? Remember the deep pain that caused? Maybe it was a parent, a friend, a brother, a sister, a spouse. Somebody cut you down with simply their words. And you took those words into your heart, and they have profoundly affected you ever since. They've affected your decisions. They've affected the way you see yourself, the way you see the world, the way you see other people, even the way you see God. Those are words of death. They've brought that into your heart. They've affected the words that you speak to yourself. And we regurgitate them. We identify with them. Words of death that are deposited into our heart. But then on the other hand, and I hope that this is true for all of us, somebody once upon a time, they said something that brought you so much life, so much encouragement. It was like a drink of water in a desert. And ever since, you've pulled out those words like a letter, and you've read them when you needed to be encouraged. Those words were deposited into your heart. Those are words of life, words that you'll always remember. And so the question is, what words are you speaking? What's your mouth saying? Because what we say to other people and what we say to ourselves, it comes back into the heart. It comes out of the heart and it goes back in. Jesus said it's out of the abundance of the heart that a person speaks. Our words are a window. They reveal the condition of our hearts. So if you're speaking words of death constantly to yourself and to other people, words that drag people down, words that drag yourself down, you're poisoning your heart. You're not guarding it. So guard your mouth. If you want to guard your heart, guard your mouth. Guard your mouth. The second one is this: guard your eyes. He says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. We know this. We know this. We've got tons of stories from our own lives. We know that our eyes, they can get us in a lot of trouble, can't they? Our eyes can get us in a lot of trouble. And we have stories, and the scriptures are full of stories of how the eyes got somebody into trouble. It says that Eve saw the fruit, and she ate it. And now we have the fall of man. Screwed up big time, and it was because of the eyes. David and Bathsheba, prime example. David's on the rooftop. He's hanging out when he needs to be at war. He's just chilling. He looks over and he sees this beautiful woman bathing on a rooftop. Wow! He saw her. And that look, it led to an affair, which led to a pregnancy, which led to him murdering her husband to try to cover it up, and which ultimately led to the death of their child. It was one of David's greatest regrets. And Solomon knew this because that was his parents. That was mom and dad. David and Bathsheba, that's mom and dad to him. So he grew up hearing from his dad often, I imagine. Listen, Solomon, guard your eyes. Guard your eyes. Don't make the same mistake that I did. Because what you let in through your eyes, it profoundly affects your heart. Wisdom, if you walk in wisdom, it keeps your eye on the ball. It keeps your eyes looking straight before you where you need to go. You won't get sidetracked because where your eyes go, your life goes. Where your eyes go, your life goes. We know this as Kentuckians because we know that if you let a horse just run on a racetrack, it's gonna go everywhere. What do you gotta put on the horse? Blinders. You gotta put blinders on the horse. So that way it sees where it's going, it knows where it's going, and it runs its race well. In the same way, we need to put on blinders. We need to guard what we see and keep our eyes focused on things that bring us life. Keep our eyes focused on the path of wisdom. Literally and figuratively, guard what you're looking at. What are you looking at? What are you taking into your heart? Does that need to change? Pictures, shows, movies, other people, the way that you see them? What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Guard your eyes. And then the last one is this. Guard your feet. He says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. He's talking about your direction. He says, give careful thought. Know the path that you are on. Know it, understand it, see it, recognize it. Constantly ask yourself, where am I? Constantly ask yourself clarifying questions. Examine your life. Examine where you're at. Know where you're at and where you're going. Because if you don't know, then you're gonna end up in a place that you never wanted to end up. You have to guard your feet. You have to guard the path that you're on. Ask yourself questions like, where am I now? Am I making wise choices? Am I making consistently good decisions? Is my relationship with God, is it healthy? Is it based on love or is it based on legalism? Is it based in love or is it based on something that isn't true? Are you walking in grace? Are you walking in his freedom? Are you walking in truth? Are you treating others the way that you want to be treated? Do you see yourself as valuable and other people as valuable? Do you see where you're headed? Are you where you want to be? You gotta constantly ask yourself. We all should constantly ask ourselves those questions. He says, don't turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Get on the path of wisdom and stay on it. Don't veer off. We all hate distracted drivers. We all hate distracted drivers. London, Kentucky has some of the worst drivers ever. And I'm not talking about you all. You all are great. I think I'm great. Maybe I could use a little bit of work, but you know. Because they veer off course. They run into other people's lanes. They miss the turn. Don't be a distracted driver on the path of life. Guard your feet. So where are you now? Where are you right now? How's your heart? Is it guarded? Is it protected? Is it fortified? Are you walking on the path of wisdom? Are you walking on the path toward life? Maybe. And that's great. Maybe not. But there's good news. If you're here today and you know you need to change course, though you may feel like you can't, know that you can. You can. Because if you find yourself in the wrong place, here's what you need to do. You need to start looking at the right place from the wrong place. Just like me. On the date, I was driving, I was like, okay, I'm in the complete wrong place. I don't even know where I am. I pulled over on the side of the road. I got out my GPS and I found where I needed to go. I found the path. I had to swallow some pride to do it. But I got where I wanted to go. And now look where I am. All these years later, exactly where I always wanted to be. And exactly where I believe God always wanted me to be. We can do the same thing in life. Because we're gonna make wrong turns, we're gonna make wrong decisions and have mistakes every single day. Every single day we're gonna find ourselves getting off of the path that we need to be on. But every time is not a problem. Every time is an opportunity to come back to God, to get back on the path of wisdom, on the path of life. God promises grace for the times that we mess up, so accept it and move on. Don't live in guilt. Don't live in shame. Ask for wisdom and get it. Get back on the right path. And we're gonna have to do this every day, because wisdom isn't just a one-time decision. A lot of people treat marriage like it's a one-time decision, you know? Those marriages grow cold. They grow distant. You gotta keep dating. You gotta keep the fire alive. You gotta keep things interesting. You gotta constantly pursue the other person. In the same way, we should constantly pursue wisdom. Every single day, we have to constantly seek, ask, and pursue wisdom. Because every day our hearts are under siege. Every day we step into the battle. Every day, life is a battle for which path we will follow. And the stakes are life and death. So choose life. Choose to walk the path of wisdom. Choose to guard your heart. Choose to guard the gates. Guard your mouth. Guard your eyes. Guard your feet. Guard the citadel. Guard your heart above all else, because out of it, everything flows. And when we do, we'll find that it becomes easier and easier to walk the path of wisdom, because our hearts will experience the benefits of wisdom. Good decisions, courage, love, grace, peace, joy, all the fruits of the Spirit. And as our heart grows to love the benefits of wisdom, our heart will also grow to love the person of wisdom. And if your heart loves the person of wisdom, your life will walk the path of wisdom. So who is the person of wisdom? In the literature of Proverbs, wisdom was personified as this brilliant woman, a teacher that would go around asking, begging people to listen to her. But in the New Testament, we find wisdom personified as a real person. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said this: "It's because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." Who's the person of wisdom? Jesus Christ. Jesus is the wisdom of God personified. So guard your heart and follow him as he leads the way on the path to wisdom, on the path to life. Because there is no path more straight. There is no foundation more sure that we can build our lives on. So let's walk his path and build our lives upon his foundation. Because when we do, we will find life. The better life and the eternal life that he came to give us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, every single one of us today, we find ourselves on a path. We find ourselves on a journey to a destination. Lord, the destination that we want to arrive at is life, and that's what you want for us too. And so I just ask that you would give all of us wisdom, that you would give all of us courage to walk the path of wisdom, to walk the path of life, and to stay on it. That you would give us wisdom and strength and courage to guard our hearts. That, Lord, you would be the one in control of our hearts, that you would be the one residing in our hearts, guiding us in everything that we do. Help us build our lives upon that path and upon your foundation, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray.